your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit insurekidsnow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Mr. Pick Me and the Man Hater podcast. I am the Man Hater.
And I'm Mr. Pick Me. It's me. I'm Mr. Pick Me.
I'm Mr. Pick Me. As you know, these titles were lovingly given to us by a troll on the internet, despite the fact that I don't hate men.
And I've already been picked.
Good job, Jesco. You got it this time. You nailed that.
One of these, it's going to start flowing eventually, and people are going to be like, "That remember back in the days when it was awkward? But now Jesco and Reagan are very professional, and that's why we listen to this podcast."
It's merely the professionalism. I don't really care about the content.
No, they're super serious takes.
Hot, lukewarm takes. Super serious. So today we are talking about something that I absolutely hate, which is weaponized incompetence. I saw a video that's going kind of viral. I asked Chesco if he'd seen it. He had not. And I decided it would be fun to do like a little battle to see who had the most infuriating clip. So we're going to go through it.
And we, I told her that I found one that went viral recently. And now I'm worried that it's the one that you're going to show me.
We'll find out. Maybe it is.
We'll find out. Who knows? Stay tuned. Mustard on a beat.
You want bad advice, man? I'll give it out gladly. I got some good advice for you.
No, you don't.
No,
I'm gonna have an asthma.
It's so aggressive. It's so confusing.
For people that are listening to the real podcast right now, I guess that now finally people know what we're talking about that are on our Patreon is that we always have like a pre-show where we talk for a little while beforehand, and it was not on purpose. It was just normally us talking, but now we record it. And we usually end up laughing to the point where we're already a little exhausted and we use up our best jokes.
We're already exhausted. So if you want to understand why he just screamed a mustard on the beat in the audio there, go ahead and check out the old Patreon, huh?
Heather knows.
Heather knows. Heather gets it.
I feel like we need a t-shirt. Heather knows.
Heather knows. Yep. Heather gets it. Just for Heather. Okay, so the thing that I saw that's going viral recently is there was a mom who was running a marathon. Have you seen this?
This is the exact.
I texted you about it. I literally texted you about it. And you said, no, I don't know it.
I didn't. And then I saw this clip yesterday. I was like, ooh, perfect. This will be great.
Hold on. Let's look this up. Let's go to the tapes on this one. Hold on.
I think this is beautiful. We have similar thoughts on great videos to dissect on this podcast.
I said, did you see the marathon race one? I didn't, but absolutely. I said, I'll surprise you.
Well, now I see where the issue is. I looked up some research on this. It's a half marathon.
Oh, excuse me, Jesco.
No, here's the way my brain works, and
it doesn't.
I feel like I'm almost going to embody weaponized incompetence.
Yeah, you're just weaponizing incompetence.
I'm literally. This is not good.
You didn't say half. So how was I to know it was the same one?
I want to be very clear. You're 100% right in the sense that you said that. And I think that's why it was probably in my head. And this happens with my wife all the time where she'll send me a video and then I'll send it to her like a week later. Like, have you seen this amazing video? But in my mind, I'm like, oh, this is great. So
Oh, Jessica.
Tell me more. I have never seen this video. Let's start over. What? I have not seen this video.
Well,
tell me
now
more.
I feel like you know more than I do. So you describe it because you just said, I didn't even know it was half. You tell it then.
Well, there was a woman running a half marathon in Brazil, I believe. And she was coming up. You see the finish line, right? You see the tape up there. It appears that she was going to be the first place finisher for the woman's half of the marathon. And as she was running toward the end line, you see about what is about 50 yards away from the tape. There is a man that appears to be her husband and three young children. And he pushes them toward her.
He pushes them. He literally, he's like, go.
And she runs around them.
As she should
to finish it. Because there's people right behind her.
And she's getting timed. It's timed.
It's clearly something you don't run half marathons or marathons, whatever it is, on a whim, right?
For the lols.
Just for funsies. Like, this is something you're passionate about, you care about, that you train for.
Yeah.
And so assuming you have a partner that takes any interest in what you do at all, they would be aware of how a race functions.
Like where the finish line is and that it's timed.
And it's not even like it's hard to see, right? It's this giant yellow tape.
It's like finish.
With banners. It is.
When I saw that, I was like, what fresh hell is this? Because even if this was like just like a race, like a local race or something, you know, like something small for fun, you still would be like, why did that dad let the children loose where people are running past? Like, what was he expecting her to do? Like, pick the three of them up and carry them across the finish line? The idea that he didn't know where the finish line is absurd. We have standards where we believe men are capable on this podcast. We do not believe that he didn't know. And like, just imagine any other setting that you would do that to a man, how that would go. Like if it was like a race with a man.
Right. Or if it's a basketball game, he's about to take the game winning shot. And mom's like, go ahead, kids. Give him a hug.
Go hug daddy.
It's okay. Like, can you imagine? Like, everyone would be like, oh, that's absurd. How could she do that to him?
What a bad mom.
Yeah, and at first, though, the original like search term, I think, was like mom ignores children as she finishes. It was something like in the search bar about that.
The pride I felt when she dusted those kids, not because of the kids themselves, but like just to be like, no, I'm going to finish this race. I'm going to get the time I deserve.
Right.
I'm going to succeed, like despite the odds. Like I just throwing three small children on a racetrack, like, what did he think was going to happen?
And did you see in the background, too, when she goes by, he's like,
yeah, like,
what happened?
I just threw children at you.
God, wow. How rude.
I brought your kids there for a little hug. It's like, yeah, you know what? If you just would have done it 50 yards
he probably
behind.
Would say, I brought your kids.
Your kids. For you. Mm-hmm, I did for this you. For you. I've been watching them this whole marathon. I'm exhausted.
Yeah, and it does feel like, I don't know how that's not intentional.
Exactly. That's what everybody was saying. They're like, nobody's that dumb. Like, I just don't believe, like, he literally, all he had to do was go to the finish line.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen many clips of people crossing the line into their loved one's arms. This is a common thing. But to just let the kids, and it's not like they got away from him. He literally pushed them open-armed. Yeah. Towards mom.
Where they could have been hit by any other number of runners, too, that are on there. It's like an actual, it's not just, it could have hurt them. And also, now, and the kids don't, they don't understand.
Right.
They don't see what they, all they saw was they want, oh, great. Because daddy wouldn't push us toward mommy unless it was an okay thing to do.
Right.
So they see that. And so once again, not her fault at all. I want to be very clear. Like he sets them up to also be like, what the hell just happened?
Why did mommy run past us? Why did mommy not acknowledge us?
And also just not letting her have her moment.
Right.
At the even if he was waiting behind the original finish line, like let her finish. Give her a second. She's like just
a half marathon.
Yeah. And I don't care if it was just completing a half marathon, but she's literally winning
right
this side of the race. It makes it so much worse.
It's like, you're still a mom, throwing the kid.
Don't feel good about what you're about to do. I want you to at least have some shame forever about this.
This is your vocation. Take the children.
This is your punishment for having something you're passionate about that isn't in the kitchen at home raising your family. Did you see the kicker speech last week?
This is for Harrison.
You told me that this is what you wanted.
Like, I mean, yeah, any other context, like it was a golf tournament on the last hole, someone pushed right. kids. Like, there's no circumstance in mm-hmm. which pushing kids out into a game, a race, any mm-hmm. type of like achievement would make sense.
No.
Especially when it's delaying. It could potentially delay mm-hmm. her time. It's a risk for the kids. It's a risk for the mom. Also, can't she get – could she get disqualified? I don't even – there are rules about,
probably,
like –
probably. Probably like, if she had grabbed one of them, yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, what's the goal here? What's – that's the thing. It's like it comes to a point where there is no other explanation other than something mm-hmm. nefarious.
Like the – here's the best possible – positive side that's still not good is that he was thinking this could be a viral moment of her running across the finish line holding her child, or but that's given him too much. There's no way this guy
he was thinking about that
much thought. There's no way when you look at his reaction. Yeah,
it's just like no matter what a woman does, mm-hmm. there men will like toxic men will find a way to make it about like mm-hmm. it's not about you're not a half marathon right. winner. You know, you're not an amazing athlete. You're still mm-hmm. a mom. And now you're a mom who ran past your own kids mm-hmm. just to win a race.
And even in now, what's the story? The story's not this mother of three wins exactly. a half marathon. It's shitty husband jumps out in front of her, which at the very least, the narrative seems to have shifted to being about how he's shitty at doing right, what he right. did. But it's still there's no focus on her anymore. Right. And the only debate even on her that. Is like, should she have stopped? What is it? There's people still debating that in the comment section of like,
no.
Well, you know, it, maybe she should have thought, you know, it's still, what if she had hit them? What if she had ran over them? Still, he put them in that situation.
I know. It's like, how about the dad who threw the kids out? But again, racing is about your time. Literally. It's right. about how fast you're going. Like mm-hmm. she is trying to get the best time.
Right.
So of course she didn't, like, it doesn't make sense to stop. Again, like, I seriously mm-hmm. think there could be repercussions if she would have stopped.
Mm-hmm.
Like
my wife and I got into 5Ks and 10Ks for a little mm-hmm. while.
Oh my
very
God.
Casually. Like, and I want to be very clear.
The kind,
yeah, well, like, we got, like, the good jogging stroller. We used to take our, like, the kids.
Nice.
Like, so it was very much, like, where we would just walk for most of it together and just,
yeah.
it was just an experience, right? Sure. But even that was exhausting. Yeah. I will fully admit I'm not in the best shape when it comes to that, but that was that took training. We had to yeah. we got ready for it for weeks leading up to it, and that's not, I don't know how long is a half marathon. It's a lot more than 5K. So 13 miles.
Oh
yeah.
Yeah, so she ran 13 miles. She's mm-hmm. coming up to the finish line. She's in first place. It's this huge achievement. She's mm-hmm. ready to cross the line. She spots her husband coming on to mm-hmm. the track with her kids. Her kids are running out in front of her. Like, I can't imagine how that would have felt.
Mm-hmm.
As she's trying to just, like, she's trying to just finish the race to, in her own right, have this achievement. Mm-hmm. And her kids are just, like, crossing. Like, even in a moment where she's clearly running a race, she can't trust mm-hmm. that her husband can watch her kids. Because that's what mm-hmm. it is, right? Like, she cannot 100%. Trust that he has control over the kids. When she's mm-hmm. doing this race, like, really, the second he sees her, he's like, these are yours. Take mm-hmm. them. Like, that is insane.
I've stitched videos before in the past about people talking about how you shouldn't have hobbies. And what they're saying, they always say as parents, you shouldn't have hobbies. Your hobby should be your children and your partner, but really they're talking about women. Because
I was like,
they,
to the women, you mean?
They I've seen it always framed as no. This is what a healthy marriage is, that you should give up everything outside of your family and
mom.
Only focus on them. But mm-hmm. really, what they're saying is, mom should give up all of their outside hobbies, any mm-hmm. outside passions and interests, because they're not telling dads they can't go golfing on the weekend.
100%.
They're not saying to give up all the rest of that stuff.
Men's hobbies account for so much of time. Like, mm-hmm. it's unreal. It's yeah. almost like if you don't give them that time, mm-hmm. it's looked negatively. Like, mom should make space for that, but it's like, what space does mom have?
Right.
What's like, I just like look back on my own life and growing up, like, what were the hobbies of the moms I knew?
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of many that weren't on their own time. You know right. what I mean?
My mom did quilting.
Right.
That was
at home.
Yeah.
Yeah. She didn't go like for 3 hours and then leave you. Like, that's the dad's hobbies. They're so time consuming. They're so like money mm-hmm. consuming. They're just, it's a whole thing.
And like, all I could think about was like, if this was my partner that was running this race, also the message I'm sending is, this is what you get for having this hobby, for doing this thing, to taking this time away from your family, right? Mm-hmm. And this is reading, you know, I'm between the lines and kind of putting more malice there than maybe this person intended. I don't know. It's hard to know everything about the situation from a 30-second clip, but that's what it feels like. Is my point?
To me, there is no explanation for doing that other than some malice, as you put it, right? Because it's mm-hmm. like, again, he could have done that at the end of the race. If the mm-hmm. issue was he wanted to support her, he wanted to show her love, the kids wanted to hug her. Like, he had to go out of his way. He was like alone with the kids mm-hmm. on the side. Mm-hmm. Like, he had to go out of his way to meet her before she got to the line. It's like, mm-hmm. if he wanted to celebrate her in that way, everybody knows how a race is. Like, what's the number one thing of a race? There's a start and a finish, and it's about your time. That's it. Yeah. That's the only rules of a race. It's not like any sport. There's like not these mm-hmm. crazy amount of rules he didn't understand. Like, those are the rules. And yet he decided to stop her, like to throw the kids in the way of her running the race. I cannot mm-hmm. imagine any, like, even online, I have not seen a single reason that made any sense for why he would do that other than to be stupid.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want to get into some more?
Sure. I'm going to stand by the fact that this was a bit and I had not seen this video.
You're going to lie. Is that what you mean?
Yeah. But I don't think I can. Cause then I started off.
You told the story. What are you talking about?
There's nothing I can do. I can't work. I am.
It's the incompetence. What are you going
to
do?
I guess you're just going to have to find all the videos from now on. I'm just so bad at this.
Oh my God. Is this happening in real time?
Oh God.
You're like, oopsie, we did a shame video. I guess you'll have to do it now. Oh, willikers.
This is what you get for trusting me. I'm just so bad at these things.
Here's one that's in a format you and I both love, which is, am I the asshole? Okay. Hopefully you haven't heard this one.
All I know so far is it's in Am I the Asshole? So.
Yeah.
So no promises.
Yeah. Just all of Reddit. Okay. Am I the asshole for kicking my husband out for cleaning our shower?
Am I the asshole? I'm trying to think. I was kind of like trying to read between the lines here. For kicking my kicking my husband out for cleaning the shower.
Uh-huh.
Go on. I have no idea.
I have to say, just from my own perspective, hearing that title, I was like, I mean, it sounds bad.
That's what I'm saying. I'm trying to find out what could have happened to
buckle the hell up. Because this is some truly heinous weaponized incompetence. Okay. I, 31, have been with my husband, 36, for 7 years now. We have 2 young kids and essentially no familial support. Since the pandemic, things have been extremely hard with just the two of us working, studying, and raising the kids. Myself and our youngest child especially have suffered several health issues and emergencies the past few years, mine resulting in multiple surgeries. Notably, over the last year, I have gotten skin rashes and skin infections over and over. I have always had nice skin and almost no problems my entire life until this past year. I've seen my dermatologist and my primary care physician several times to get treatments, and then she talks about all the treatments she's gotten, but the issues keep coming back and have caused me severe stress, trying not only to fix the issues, but wondering if I have more serious underlying issues causing this. There's something like when it's your face, like, ugh, it's awful. So she's been struggling with like this, these horrible things. Okay. Mm-hmm. My husband used to be very talkative, but the last few years, I feel like he doesn't communicate with me. No matter how many times I tell him about an appointment for the kids, how to do a certain household task, or essentially anything, he tells me that he doesn't remember me even showing him or telling him. I know that this is a huge red flag for weaponized incompetence, but he says that his therapist tells him that it isn't malicious, but that he has just been burnt out and is disassociating.
Okay.
I'd like to talk to that therapist.
Right. I also oftentimes feel like, is that what the therapist said? You know,
are you also weaponizing therapy?
Yeah. Did you hear something that sounded enough like that, that you were able to say, no, it just me.
The therapist is like, well, I mean, like if you were disassociating, it would make sense that you wouldn't hear her. But other than that, it sounds like you're just not listening. And he's like, did you say it was disassociating? Got it. Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you for giving that terminology that I can now bring back home and weaponize against my wife.
Okay. So here's where I might be the asshole. Tonight, after our kids went down for bed, I laid into him about our marriage, relationship, household workload. I told him that I feel isolated and lonely. I mentioned that even in the roommate portion of our marriage, like chores, he only does things part of the way, which inevitably causes me to do twice the amount of work. So even when he does things, he does it half-assed, she has to redo it.
Right.
He countered back saying that he cleans the shower almost every day. This shocked me, as I've never heard him use our power scrubber, and our hand scrubber is still in the packaging.
I was like, does he mean he showers every day?
No.
Is that him cleaning the shower?
Would you like to guess how he's been cleaning the shower?
Why? Is it like because she had the skin issues? I'm assuming she has certain types of special cleaning things that she used on herself, and he's been using those?
Worse. Her face washcloth that she's been using, and for her face that has been having infections and all kinds of trouble, he's been taking that and scrubbing the shower with it and then putting it back, and she's been reusing it.
No.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. See, I was like, oh, he's probably been wasting like her good stuff, like these expensive.
Apparently he doesn't even use soap. So every day, as she's been trying to clear her skin, he's just been clean, like scrubbing shower scum off with it. So that would be like like the soap that leaves your body with all this, you know, any grime from your own body, then, you know, sits on the shower floor and the side of the shower, just getting scummy. He took her, what she thought was like clean, and scrubbed it and then put it back, and then she used it on her face.
Also, did you ever hear, and this is, I promise this is related and leads into why this is even more
disgusting. All right, hold on. Clocking 5 minutes for tangent.
No, but the discussion online about how men don't wash their ass.
Yes!
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
They just, like, let the water kind of, they don't,
graze
like, some guys
it.
Barely even wipe. They kind of, like, just, like, whatever happens, happens, and it's in God's hands now when...
Goddamn.
Yep. So I imagine, I don't know. I feel like this, and it's very widespread. I remember I was like, no, that can't be. It has to be like this very specific niche thing. My comment section will give me from that video that I stitched on that. It's to this day it haunts me of the amount
of
guys
cleaning themselves.
It's so much more common than I ever would have imagined. And so, you know, it's, oh God. So the fact that this is something that is very common. I just feel like this shower is not the cleanest after this guy gets out of there. So I was gonna, that's leading into that. And he's using her special washcloth that she only uses probably for her face.
Yes.
Mm.
Okay. That she thought was clean. And again, like if you are having infections, like you have to be so careful with what you're putting on your skin. Like the last thing you want is like shower scum. She probably was treating her skin for the effects of that. Like, so she was probably like, they think the medicine's not working, she's counterbalancing that. She may have been increasing what she was using on her face, mm-hmm. all because he's been using her. Like, I feel like anybody could get an infection or at least a really bad breakout by using the shower scummy mm-hmm. washcloth on your face.
And also, it makes sense why she wouldn't feel the need to, like, get a new one every day or clean it every day if she's only using it, like, for her, or what she assumes is just to wash her face with these special cleaning agents. That, oh my God.
To think of, like, how much stress she had and, like, how this dude was not doing, like, his part mm-hmm. in any way, that she was doing all of the work. She had all of the stress. The most he did was supposedly clean the shower, which, what a weird task to say is your one chore. That's such a strange thing. Only to find out that he had been sabotaging her face this whole mm-hmm. time. Because that's the thing, is it's like, I would assume there was more than one towel in that bathroom. So why would he keep, and then putting it back?
Yeah.
Like using it and leaving it. That feels little
there's
more
no
malicious.
Possible way you could, you would take it from, and I don't know, I'm assuming their shower's like mine. Like, my wife has her side and I have my side of, like, where we keep our stuff, kind of to keep it because we use different things.
Sure.
And so, and it, especially in their case, she clearly has special things that she keeps
for her
there.
Face.
It's a very conscious choice once again to go and do that and take that. And it feels absolutely like this idea of weaponizing confidence, right?
Right.
Back to the theme of the idea of, like, oh, well, I mean, you asked me to clean it.
I did.
And now I guess, well, all right, fine. You know what? You clean it then.
If
you don't
like
the way
I
do it, if I don't like, you don't like the way I do it, then that's your job now.
It makes me so mad. Like, I can't imagine how she felt in that moment. Like, she's already upset with him. She's trying to explain to him, hey, literally, mm-hmm. like, you don't do your part. He's saying, I'm disassociating. I'm sure she was like, what? And then to hear, oh, I clean the shower. She's arguing because she said she didn't believe that he was doing it because she had no evidence. And then he's like, oh, I am doing it. I've just been using your face towel to do it.
The whole thing about, like, weaponizing your therapy and stuff like that, too, I think that's such an important aspect of this discussion. Because also there are, like, I have invisible disability that does cause me occasionally to forget things, that causes me to struggle with certain aspects of things. And I think sometimes there's this, people get defensive of, like, well, I sometimes do this thing. We're not talking about people that have a legitimate actual issue. If I'm critiquing a man for not getting up to put his dish in the sink, I'm not going to critique critiquing someone that has a broken leg for not doing that for themselves.
Sure. Right?
There's very clear distinguishing differences, and I always want to make sure that is a clear delineation, because I think sometimes there is a defensiveness, like, well, I do have this issue. We're not talking about you.
No, right? Disassociation is very real. I mean, I even have that sometimes, but we're not talking about someone who's actually disassociating. We're talking about someone who purposefully and repeatedly is not listening mm-hmm. to their partner, is not prioritizing their partner, and is not doing the things they can do. Because, again, this mm-hmm. is clearly, by her own description, somebody who is functioning in other aspects of his life without this issue. Like, if this issue is only coming up when your partner is asking you to do a task, mm-hmm. and she's mm-hmm. saying she even was modeling the task for him, and he's saying that didn't happen. Well, that's gaslighting. That's literally, like, if we're talking about any terms here, I would say that's more gaslighting, which is her reality of knowing that she did, in fact, show him how to do the task, and him saying, mm-hmm. well, no, you didn't. That's, I don't think we're talking about disassociating, because it doesn't pick a topic. Like, my issues don't just say this thing.
With this one.
Yeah, like, my ADHD doesn't only kick in when my wife is speaking, you know. Although, if anything, I hyper-focus on when she's talking, because I'm like, what? Tell me more. What's the thing at work? But that's just me.
Okay.
But yes, I totally agree, because I never want to come off... If anybody, you and I are all about.
They're not going to,
All about it. But there is a serious issue where men, toxic men, are finally getting, I don't even think it's that they're getting into therapy, but they're hearing terms that they realize if they throw those out. Mm-hmm. Certain terms are immediately back off. Like, you hear that, like, oh, mm-hmm. shit. Like if I heard disassociate, I would be like, oh shit. Like what? Mm-hmm. Okay. There are ways to shut women down and confuse women. And when you use therapy terms, compassionate people and empathetic people are more likely to cater to that. Right. Because they're mm-hmm. like, oh, mm-hmm. you're really working through something. When in actuality, they're just manipulating and mm-hmm. using therapy terms to do it.
Well, and like it, like as I said before, as someone who has an actual disability, mm-hmm. that when I see this happen, it really annoys me, especially because yeah. of the fact that I know for a fact, like, and I know once again, I don't know why I'm being so careful with this because people I think are hopefully going to give the benefit of the doubt and understanding what I'm saying.
Yeah,
but that every disability expresses itself differently depending on the person, sure. and there's different things, but. As someone that has these different struggles, I'm still able to, you know, I still cook most of our meals at my house. I still am able to take out the garbage, right? I'm still doing the sure. dishes. There's still a way to be an active member of your household.
Right.
Right. Without needing to weaponize it in a certain way. And I think it's always, at least in my experience, it's very clear when somebody is making an honest, genuine attempt and actually being incompetent versus they're using sure. incompetence as a way to never get better and to never actually be a part of it and to do it ever again.
Yeah. And I think there's even like the deeper level of that. Like you have somebody who I don't want to say they're being incompetent, like say somebody who's unable to do something, right? Mm-hmm. But they're still trying. Okay. And then you mm-hmm. have the next layer down, which is somebody who's unable to do something. And so they're like, screw it, I'm not doing it. Right.
Right.
But underneath that, you have somebody who is 100% capable of mm-hmm. doing something, but is pretending they can't. So their partner gets so frustrated and right. cannot trust them to do the thing that they'll just take over that responsibility. So mm-hmm. I think he's at the deeper layer of this, right? Where he right. is purposefully doing these things. And again, like, she's going out of her way. She is saying she literally is showing him how to do it, which is a step mm-hmm. more than most people will do. Mm-hmm. This is even below this. This isn't even good faith. You know, this isn't even somebody right. who can't do the thing. Right. Because I think even if we're making the argument on that level, like I also have things. I'm going to have ADHD. Mm-hmm. I have all kinds of crazy shit going on. I'm right. not right in the head, generally speaking. You know, I have a lot of disorders going on. But you know, I have developed workarounds for that. You know, mm-hmm. I have developed coping mechanisms. I have developed ways to still get things done, even if I can't do it in the way a neurotypical person would. And my mm-hmm. wife is very kind to me and helps me, right? So there's always ways mm-hmm. to work around things. Right. So even if it was, I have this issue, that's not the end point, right? You mm-hmm. have to go past that. That's not where you should say, okay, you just have to do it now. Mm-hmm. But again, I don't think that's I think we're not talking about someone who can't do something. We're talking about someone who can and wants right. to pretend they can't. So.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. I got another one for you. So this is a stitch from a guy named Gen X.
Okay.
And so the original video is a woman dancing and she says, "Turns out I don't have anger problems. I just don't have time to teach basic life skills to a grown man." Wonderful. Preach. I think that's funny. That's great. And yep. so this guy stitches it and he says, "Hey, TikTok friends, Gen X here. Well, if this lady doesn't have time to fix them, who's going to fix them?"
Was he serious?
Oh, this is a genuine, I'll read you the rest, but I just need to pause for a second there. Who's going to fix them?
Them? Probably them, because women are not the bearers of the burden yeah. of fixing men who don't choose to do better for themselves. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, their mommy didn't get a handle yeah. on it. So women, mm-hmm. you're next in line.
I need my new mommy.
So who's my mommy? Mm-hmm.
Ooh, do I get to marry this new mommy to fix me? I'm just such a little rough around the edges guy.
It is so socially acceptable to believe that mm-hmm. it is women's responsibility to fix men. And if mm-hmm. women can't fix men, that they just weren't a good enough woman. That's like right. the whole idea of like, you know, when men will finally be like, "She was the one. She's the mm-hmm. one. She's the reason I changed." And then mm-hmm. you're like, okay, so the 10 women whose hearts you broke and that you treated like shit, right. they just weren't good enough. Got yeah. it. Oh, we can move on because I'm going to go on a tangent. But
okay. Yeah. So he says, and isn't it better, you know, isn't it a better option to get it, to get something like that's a fixer upper, kind of like a house. So you could fix it up into the way you want it. To me, that sounds like sound dating advice. You should try it and report back.
This is not satire. Are you positive?
I am 100% positive. He is saying that the better option is to get someone that's broken that you can fix and mold as that is your job, right? So that you don't get stuck with someone who's set in their ways.
That's because men say that shit with 18-year-olds. Like that. Mm-hmm. That's just the thing. I mold the person. Like we don't want to do that. We just want a fully formed human that we enjoy and that enjoys us. That's all. Yeah, that's such a it's like the prize is you get a partner that's, you know, decent. You're
now,
welcome.
Now you end up with somebody that you love because you got to fix me. And if I don't get fixed, that's a you problem.
You're not a good fixer. Right?
It's another way to shift the blame onto you just need to do a better job fixing me. I'm just this malleable piece of clay that my mommy just told me was a very special boy. And it's now I get to be your special boy to fix into these things. Isn't that attractive?
I always say people want a partner, not a project. You know, I think all of us are working through things. And mm-hmm. we help each other. Like in a good partnership, you are helping the other person be a better person and striving mm-hmm. to be a better person for your partner and for yourself. But in most scenarios that this kind of conversation comes up, the woman is not coming in the same way the man is. Like the woman mm-hmm. is not also the fixer-upper. The woman is having to do the fixing. Like you could both be fixer-uppers and then like mm-hmm. share the labor together. But usually the woman is pretty sound and the man just wants to be fixed up. I think is very interesting because I guarantee if you tried to say this in a different conversation, you would be slaughtered by the same men that are saying this. Like if they're like, I'm just put in the work. But if you were like, dude, you're a fixer upper for sure. Like mm-hmm. you have a lot of work to do. They'd be like, oh, how dare you say that?
You knew what you were getting into when you married this.
Oh, my all time favorite. When they're like, oh, I was honest about my, it's like, yeah, but you didn't do anything to better yourself. Did ya? Mm-hmm. Did ya? Mm-hmm. Oh, women, please stop trying to fix men. Please.
To your point, though, about like, yeah, in a good relationship, and that's not saying everyone should come into the relationship perfect and nobody intertwined is. And there should never be any issues. Absolutely not. Right. Obviously, you should work with each other and do certain things. And there's going to be certain aspects of your life that as a single person do not mesh when you become into a partnership with somebody. Mm-hmm. That's not what we're talking about.
No.
It's this idea because it's always about the men.
Yes.
The only time it's about the woman is when it's a guy being predatory toward wanting to mold a young woman.
When
they're giving advice to other men about why you should date 18 to 20 year olds is because they don't have the brainwashing of social media and other women in their life yet. You can turn them into the thing you want. But and then it's like, oh, but I need you to fix me.
Yeah. Can you fix me, please?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's so common and it's so frustrating because I've seen so many women date men that treat them like shit. Mm-hmm. Almost for the potential of who they could be rather than mm-hmm. the reality of who they choose to be.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're in a partnership, what matters is who the person is choosing to be. I think this is the biggest thing for me. It's like so many toxic men may even acknowledge the way that they're toxic or the way that they're falling short, or even say mm-hmm. like, I've known men who will say like, you know, I had a bad relationship with my father or whatever, you know, mm-hmm. will know kind of where their issues are coming from, but that's where they stop.
Mm-hmm.
They don't do the things to get better. They don't go to therapy. They don't talk with like their guy friends. This, like it shouldn't mm-hmm. be on women to fix men. Like where are your peer relationships? Like where are mm-hmm. your mentors? Where are your friends and family and your therapist? Like where you could be actively working through your issues. It's not someone fixing you. You are an active participant. You are the one who needs to change.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea that this is all on women, like women you're dating, like I have had so many, and myself included, like my friends and myself, like waste years putting in time, trying to fix men only for them to move on and do something else. Right. And like, there's really no comeuppance for the women that are harmed, used, especially their emotional labor used in aiding them. It's never even recognized that that happened because it's expected.
Right.
And that's crazy how many men will use women purely for emotional labor.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's, it's one of those things. I think if you could tell your younger self, it's often when you get into a relationship with somebody, I think you have to accept if what you're getting when you start that relationship, if that never changes,
right,
will you be happy with that?
Right.
Cause I don't, if you go in expecting, well, I could be happy, there's building blocks. Can that work out? Sure. I'm sure there's plenty of examples of that where you got this malleable piece of guy. He's just a good guy, that a little rougher on the edges, and it works out beautifully. And it turned out to be a wonderful, loving relationship.
Sure.
But that there's so many more times that does not happen, right? Where it's just, and it ends up just being, especially when you get older, like by the time I'm a different man now at 42 than I was at 32.
Right.
But I'm not that different.
Right.
The important thing, like the most biggest parts of who I am are pretty much the same.
Yeah.
Right. I've just grown. I've experienced life more now. That's the only changes really I've done. And so I think you have to, I think the more we come to accept that, but we buy into that narrative. Because it's on TV shows, it's in movies, it's on social media, of this idea of, oh, you know, there's something there. And if I can fix it, then I'm the victor. I'm the champion. And I'm going to get this prize. Yeah. That nobody else gets, because all of his other horrible toxic relationships he was in didn't realize they weren't as good as me. They weren't as good at fixing.
Again, it's like, it's the fact that it never goes the other way. Mm-hmm. Like aside from when they're 19, you're not fixing them either. They're just like trying to mold them into who they want as their perfect Barbie doll. They still think they're in their prime at the young age. They don't like that they're aging. They don't like that they're maturing, right? That's a negative. You just don't see it the other way with men getting with women, be like, oh, she's a fixer upper, but like, I think she could be a really good, really good wife. Here. I think there's potential. Mm-hmm. It's just like, I don't know if you saw, I'll try to subdue my rage, but, all the women on Mother's Day talking about,
oh yeah.
And there was one woman who, I'm not going to name her obviously. But she was like, yeah, you know, I'm just really upset because I know every Mother's Day, my husband's not going to do anything because, you know, he's just not into gifts. It's just, just not about that. And I just, that's something I'm just going to have to settle for. And, you know, that's just how he is. And I'm like, that's not a thing. That's like, if he's against gifts or not about gifts, then he cannot receive gifts. Then he cannot get gifts. That's fine. 100%. Gifts are not about the person that is giving the gift.
Right.
They shouldn't be. Some people are about it, right? Like, look how great I am. But it's about the experience of the person receiving the gift. And even if it's not a monetary thing, there are little things you can do to make your partner feel special. And the reason that these holidays are such a big deal, besides capitalism, is because so often these women don't feel appreciated in their day-to-day lives. And so this is just the big opportunity for men to show them that they matter. And so often these men aren't the men that are like making them feel special and doing little things for them. And the idea that someone who grew up in this society doesn't get gifts or understand gift giving, when like that is such a cultural thing, like giving gifts, I think in most societies is pretty common, right? But culturally here in the US, like, we've been ingrained, birthdays, holidays, whatever. It's not that he doesn't get getting gifts. It's that he doesn't want to put in the time and energy to make you feel special, period, point blank.
And the thing is, I think that that's what annoys me the most about that is like when they, even when they do make this big Mother's Day, what do? They made breakfast. I am the greatest husband in the world. I did the dishes. I made her breakfast. I got her flowers. Something that I only do once a year.
You're welcome.
Look at how great I, and it's, we always talk about the bar being so low, and then that becomes something you can brag about. And you will see other people that will respond like, wow, you got the perfect man. This is unbelievable. You picked a good one.
He let you take a shower?
What?
Whoa. He you let
got to
you
take a nap today. Yeah.
Yeah, it's, and I'm not trying to hate on anybody. That's not my point. Right, but right. It's just
I'm hating
not,
a little bit. But
okay, also I'm hating, but I am the man hater. So, yeah. But it's not true. It's just not true.
Right.
Like right. Men know what's important. Men understand. Like he understands what a gift is. He understands why it's important to you. These women have explained several times why it's important to them. It doesn't have to be money. It could be time. Just for an example. So on Mother's Day, my wife takes Mother's Day. I take Father's Day. Don't worry about it. I think we talked about this before because we want to celebrate, you know, we want a full day. So, you know, I was going to have her do like a trip to herself, like a 2-day trip or whatever. And then she is an introvert. And so she's like, I just want to be home. Fair. Yeah. Totally fair. So instead I like cleaned the entire house and I took me and my daughter out of the house for like 24 hours. She just got to enjoy the nice clean house, do whatever the hell she wanted. Just relax. Right. That cost me a time and energy.
Right.
That's it. Right.
And it's also, I feel like it's a consistency thing too. Like some years you maybe Mother's Day or Father's Day, whatever, what it just didn't happen. Right. Or not that it didn't happen, but it wasn't as special. Right. But if every year it's the same, then that's on that's a choice.
Yeah.
That's on purpose. Like my daughter's dance recital and my son's birthday, one of them is almost always on Father's Day. It's right around that time. And so we do other things, but that's life, right? That gets in the way of it. I'm not like, oh, shoot, I'm so unappreciated. But you have to accept that because the day when it can happen, when there isn't something about, you know, and what's funny is the two things that get in the way of it are me being a father. Which
gosh, also, dang it.
Yeah. But like the times it does happen, I know that it's, you know, my wife puts thought into it and we have a great day, and which is great.
You also celebrate each other every single day. You also do nice things for each other every single day. You both feel, from what I know, you both feel appreciated, feel supported. And for these couples, I don't think that's always the case. I think it's like the one day, you know.
This is my one day I finally get this. Yeah.
Which is sad at all. It's very sad that that is how it is. But to have that be the reality, and then to still, and these women have made it clear that it means something to them too. It's not like they're like, I don't care, because some people don't care. But to purposefully do this. And like, I had a friend, who was really into birthdays. Like she really liked, she just enjoyed it. You know, like she wasn't like a birthday monther, cause that's the thing too, but you know, no hate to the birthday monthers. Hey, if I could do it, I would do it. But, she just liked, you know, she's someone who enjoys being celebrated. She likes feeling important, as we all do. And now it's her ex-husband, but her boyfriend and then husband would forget or do nothing for her birthday every single year. To the point where we all would intervene and like force him to do something, and he still would find a way to make her feel unappreciated and forgotten. Like he wouldn't do cards, he wouldn't do gifts. And it ended up, it was just a very passive aggressive way of him telling her, you don't matter to me.
Right.
And that very much ended up being the case. He ended up being a dirtbag and a cheater. And so these little things, like there are things that, you know, are small that you can ignore, you know, like things happen, to your point. But like when someone consistently is taking the time to make you feel unimportant and to not meet a very reasonable expectation, right? They may be telling you something. Like it's not that little anymore. It is a very clear sign of something, that they are sending you a message, and sometimes we need to receive that. And she did it. Well, after he did the cheating, she definitely received it. But but it was just one of those things there. Like the first couple years, because they were together a while, we were like, how does this keep happening? Like, what is going on? Like, why does he keep doing this to her? And after, you know, it happened repeatedly, we're like, okay, no, this has to be intentional, because mm-hmm. you can't, like, after, if I miss somebody's birthday, I'd be like, oh God, you know, I put it in my calendar. This was the time of like iPhones. This wasn't like that right. long ago where it was very easy reminders, like, and people were reminding him. It was just like, there's a point at which it cannot be unintentional anymore. There's a point at which yeah. it's not an accident.
My wife and I have the same birthday, so I don't have to ever worry about that. I
know, that's so crazy.
Yeah. Although, easy. No, you know, it's funny here. I'm going to call myself out. There was, I don't remember what year it was. It was sometime into our because at a certain point the birthday stopped being special for us because yeah. of the fact I think we were talking about this before because yeah, yeah, it's yeah. like it's neither of our day anymore now, but it's like
whatever, you can't do it.
We figure out something to do together. We buy a house gift for ourselves. Uh-huh. And one year I forgot my own birthday. It's like it was like the day before and I was like, what's tomorrow? Oh yeah. my. And so yeah. but then I felt horrible because not only had forgot my birthday, I forgot her birthday. And so I'm like, Fred, it was fine. I figured it out. But right, I felt right. so bad. I'm like, how? And I was so mad at myself. I'm like, how do you forget your own birthday?
It's your own birthday also. Yeah. That's the thing though. It's,
yeah.
It was abnormal. You were panicked about it. You right. felt terrible.
Right.
These men down. Terrible. These men are like, sorry. Yeah. Not sorry, not sorry. Okay. Yeah. Is it my turn or your turn? Is it my turn?
I think it's your turn. Yeah. Well, okay. this will be our last one.
Oh shit. It's going to be our last one.
I think so.
Okay. Maybe
I think we've been talking for like an hour, right? Yeah.
Have we? Okay. Well, then I'll pick a good one.
So I just got back from the store and my husband goes, did you enjoy your time? That was the other half to my Christmas gift. I'm like, where? What is it?
I babysit for hours.
He says freedom. You were gone for 2 hours and I babysat. You gave us freedom. Baby, I love you. And he kissed me.
I was home with the baby.
The greatest gift of all for a mother. I love you.
I'm gone. We're done. And that's our show for today.
Yeah.
That's one of my big pet peeves. So that the babysitting term. Oh, it's a huge pet peeve of mine.
I have gone ballistic on that one before.
Yeah.
I'm like, your child, you babysat your child. Mm-hmm. That's not a thing. No, it's just parenting.
Yeah. It's just
your job.
I hate that so much that this is the other half of your Christmas gift is that you got to go shopping.
Mm-hmm.
It's yeah. not even like you got to, and like, no matter what, you're allowed to you should be allowed to have a couple hours by yourself.
Yeah, 2 hours total.
Yeah. But the fact is that she was gone doing a household chore.
Yes.
This is something we need to, a task to eat. This is not like this relax. And don't get me wrong, shopping by yourself sometimes can actually feel sure. kind of nice when you're
retail therapy. When you have
kids around the house and everything.
Yes.
But in general, this was, she went shopping for the home and she was gone for 2 hours. And he's like, you're welcome.
Kissing her on the head. Like, mm-hmm. this is part of your gift. Freedom.
I existed. Your children are alive. Your children are alive.
Yes.
I babysat them for you. I did your job for you while you were doing your other job. Oh, God.
Yeah. And like, he was so proud of himself. Like, he's smiling mm-hmm. the whole video, kissing her, being like, that's for you. You're welcome. Like, almost not getting it. Even as mm-hmm. she's filming it, he doesn't seem like he's getting it. He's like, yeah, it was a great gift. Freedom.
Mm-hmm. I guarantee you there's at least one person in the comments saying that is a good gift. That's really my husband.
I haven't left
that.
The house in 10 right. years. Like, Gretchen, you gotta yeah. get out.
It's, are you blink twice? Yeah.
The padlock never gets opened. Like, yeah. And that's the sad reality for people. And like, mm-hmm. even her, she's like laughing.
Yeah.
And we see a lot of those videos, and there's a lot of discourse about that. Just mm-hmm. women talking about the shitty things their husbands do, but then like not leaving them or right. like taking any action. And that's a whole category unto itself where people are having
That's a whole genre of,
it's a genre of content, but it's yeah. also like, there's a huge discourse now where like mm-hmm. women will be like, stop talking about it because right. seemingly what they're wanting out of it is other women to also right. say they're struggling with the same thing.
Right.
Because when people critique the man, which is the obvious next step, if you're mm-hmm. posting that your husband's being shitty, obviously women who are supportive of other women will probably be saying, yeah, that does suck. Mm-hmm. And then the women end up fighting the other women
right.
who are trying to support them and be like, my husband's right. great. So it seems.
Oh, yeah. My husband's real shitty, too. How dare you say that about my husband?
Like, wait, what did you want? Wait, so it seems like a lot of people online have now decided, like, okay, so what you actually want is other women to be like, oh, yeah, same girl, you know? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, you know, literally it's just like, tee hee hee, kind of funny. And the husband
this is
has.
What our life is.
Yeah. 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 And, you know, I always am going to be supportive of women, you know,
mm-hmm.
especially like even regardless of why they're posting the video. Right. But mm-hmm. I think there is validity to the idea of like, don't engage in good faith when they're expecting a certain, or they want a different response. Mm-hmm. They are not wanting defense
mm-hmm.
because to defend them means that they have been wronged. That they are mm-hmm. in need of defense, right?
Mm-hmm.
And these women are not wanting that.
And that opens up a whole can of worms for them. If they admit that there's a problem, then you have to explore that because the problem has to be solved. The problem right. has to be explored. The problem has right. to be fixed.
Change has to happen.
And like you said, they are still experiencing that terrible thing. And if there's no escape, if there's no out, especially if you're like in a household where divorce is not an option or separation sure. is not an option, then the second you and if you're aware that your husband's not going to change, your partner is going to keep doing the same things, then the second you begin hearing and accepting the critiques of them and that is not okay thing to do, then what do you do?
Mm-hmm.
Then that's an even harder, you have to kind of gaslight yourself mm-hmm. Into believing this is what everyone yes. goes through and it's okay because there's no alternative. And as long as there's no alternative, then I don't have to push for it to be better. I don't have to deal right. with the trauma or drama, whatever, depending on how they take it, in fixing that issue and making their situation better.
Yeah. And it's even just like thinking it's funny. Mm-hmm. Like, this is funny. This, mm-hmm. I mean, it's definitely relatable to a lot of women, but it is right. funny that he is doing that to her. It is funny that mm-hmm. her quote unquote gift, we were just talking about gift giving. Mm-hmm. It's not this, is to watch his own child for 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
That's a gift to him. Like, that doesn't strike me as funny. Definitely strikes mm-hmm. me as upsetting, but it's the dopey husband trope. Like, mm-hmm. Which is weaponized incompetence. Like,
right.
If you want to put a funny spin on it, it's, oh, just the husband can't do stuff. Whoopsie. Mm-hmm. And the reality is it's weaponized incompetence. Like, if this dude is holding up a job,
mm-hmm.
he knows how to do things. He knows how to do right. tasks. He knows how to meet expectation.
There was a video of a speaker at a conference for women. Mm-hmm. I don't remember exactly the situation, but she... right in the beginning, this is like she's like the keynote speakers as the beginning of the conference. And she asked them, the women in the audience, to raise your hand if you've already received a text or a phone call from your husband asking where something is or how to do something. And it was, everyone's laughing. It's one of those situations that it's like, aha, we're all laughing. It's like, but then also it's like, why am I also crying right now?
Why am I also in therapy?
Right. What is happening right now? But it is so widespread. And I think that's, mm-hmm. it can be very easy to put yourself in a bubble of only other people going through that with no alternative, because it is so widespread and so accepted, right? It is 100%. Just accepted that is the way it is and there's no better alternative. So why even bother getting upset about it? Because.
And who does that help? Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, I always keep the peace, but it wasn't my peace I was keeping, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's this idea that women will almost comfort each other by sharing these stories and relating to each other. But at the end of the day, the person that ends up doing, like, the person that doesn't have to change is the man. The person whose behavior doesn't go checked is mm-hmm. the man. Like, it doesn't aid the women at all. Like, maybe it comforts them a little bit, like maybe just mm-hmm. to not feel so alone. But at the end of the day, when we have those conversations and we joke like that, it just makes it so that men who are behaving badly do not have to mm-hmm. change their behaviors. Mm-hmm. If it's tee-hee-hee funny, then we don't have to take it seriously. And we shouldn't take right. it seriously. And if the expectation is that low, then we should never aspire for better. And that serves men who want to behave like that.
Mm-hmm. And even in those the conflict that does occur in those comment sections, and especially online, it's also all of that extra trauma from that, or drama, and I don't know what word I should be using right now, but all that extra conflict that's going on is also absent of the men. So the men also get to escape that.
Yeah,
they're like, also just gleefully unaware. You handle it. You guys fight each other. But and then if you get upset about it, then I could even as a man go in, but look at all these women defending me though.
Right. Right.
Look at all these people in the comment sections. They are telling you that you're wrong.
Do you know what happens a lot, Chesco? Is the woman will come back on with the husband defending him in a video to TikTok or to whatever app. And I'm like, we're dark now. We're in a dark, we're in the seventh circle of hell. Because I've seen
those ones where it's,
and then it's even, it's always worse. It's always worse. Like if you, like you couldn't have made it look worse. Like there was the one where the girl was filming, like, it was like a prank, quote unquote prank. And I keep doing air quotes. This is a podcast, but sorry, there's quotes we there.
Feel them. They can feel,
you can feel the energy of the air quote. But she called, like, she called him her husband, and he's like, boyfriend, really aggressively. And everyone's like, oh, girl, out, get out. Like, that's a bad sign. And they did, like, it's not even an apology. It's like a, hey, actually, he's not bad. And he's like, she just always will call me her husband, and, like, it's just not the right term. If she calls me her husband, she's going to have to redo the video. And we were like, oh, so you're controlling her content now. And she can only say certain things. If she says it wrong, she has to redo it. I was like, girl, this makes it worse. This makes it so worse.
And that's always the situation. Then fast forward 10 years later, and they're always like, oh God, I don't know how I didn't see it. How did I not know? And it's, and I'm not even, and it's unfortunately, like, I always feel like when I see those videos of people talking about it, there's so much self-blame there, and it's not their fault, because the person was abusing them, or was taking advantage of them, or was gaslighting them, or was whatever you want. This is, there's society, the diabolical lie, to quote last week's speech, the real diabolical lie is that women are told that that's the best, that's all they deserve. Right. That they, the situation they're in, as toxic and as tragic as it might be, is as good as it gets. And that if you complain, there's a million other women that would be happy to be in that situation. And that's that just allows, it coddles men. It allows us to not have to try as hard, because we know how low the bar is, and how easy it would be. And it really would be. Being a mediocre man is applauded in our society. And as long as you can achieve that mediocrity, you're going to be able to find an audience that will tell you how great you are and how wonderful you are. And that's just the reason why we make a lot of the content that we do.
Like,
it's important to call it out.
And again, like, I totally get why they make a joke of it. Like, it is easier. Like, we talk, laugh so you don't cry, you know?
Right.
It is easier to say, oh, this is just funny. Oh, this happens to everyone. It is easier to do that. It is easier to say that than to realize this person that I truly love and have devoted my life to treats me subpar, is purposefully treating me less than he could, is in some ways being abusive to me. Like, it is easier to say, oh, it's just everybody. There is comfort in that. There's comfort in getting other women to also tell you that. So I understand that, but there is better out there. And until we start being realistic about what's acceptable and what's not acceptable, people will stay in those places that they deserve more than, because it's more comfortable to just go with that. There is no better thing, that this is okay. And I think we have to have uncomfortable conversations, because the truth is, there's better for them. There is, there are better partners, or even to be alone. It's better to be alone than to be with someone who's treating you that way.
And even for the quote unquote good guys, maybe this will be my final thought on this, is that there are guys that can be better and want to be better. And genuinely, and this is not me necessarily excusing it, but more of a reflection for society, unless you challenge them, unless you bring it up, unless they see that there is something else to be there, it's easy. It's human nature to want to do the easy thing, mm-hmm. right? To want to fall into what is acceptable and what's okay. And if all you've ever seen is this toxic kind of relationship environment or this way of being in your own home life, mm-hmm. and you are not challenged on it, then how mm-hmm. would you, how do you become better? How do you, and that goes for everything. I always talk about how online, if I say something problematic, call me out, tell me about it. Right. Yeah. And if you genuinely, if you're a good person, you will hear it, you'll learn from it, and you improve, you get better. It's not about, silence and just this acceptance of bad things does not benefit anybody. And it doesn't mm-hmm. benefit the person doing it either, because they might unknowingly, in the best of circumstances, be doing something that they don't want to be doing. And in the worst of circumstances, why would you want to coddle them? Because if they're doing the bad things on purpose.
Yeah. I think if women just hold their boundaries and hold up the bar of like what they need from men, period, then when men aren't reaching that bar, it will naturally encourage them to do so. If there are men who are mm-hmm. capable and willing, and I know there are, I know men in my own life who I've seen grow. Like, I've had really productive conversations with men as I've unpacked mm-hmm. my own misogyny, you know, that I've seen men change and be open and listen and grow, just like I do. Like, I'm also, you know, I'm unpacking it too, right. you know? But I think it's the idea of just set your bar mm-hmm. of what you expect. The men who are worth it will meet you. Mm-hmm. The men who are worth it will raise themselves up one. Or there are men who are great and already there. Like, right. There are men out there who are amazing already, right? You don't have to change them. You don't have to quote unquote fix them. But if you set the standard of what you want and just have good boundaries, like, men will meet you or they won't. Mm-hmm. And that's on them. And I definitely think holding the bar is an encouragement. I agree that it can be helpful. But I also don't want people to think like, oh, let me fix him real quick. Let me just spend 10 years trying to get him to put the toilet seat down. Like, mm-hmm. Oh shit. Well, I don't, that's all that's toilet seat is all I have to say now.
Oh, well, I'm happy I was able to actually embody weaponized incompetence in the beginning of this episode for everybody. And that was embarrassing, but important. And I'll do better next time. I'm going to do better.
And you're going to learn? Are you going to learn from that?
I'm going to learn and I'm going to do better.
That's so funny, because when you said, we probably had the same clip, I'm like, no, I specifically told you the clip and you said you have not seen
it. It's so funny. Genuine, real quick though, that is... So sometimes you just have that feeling in the back of your mind. I was like, why did I have that feeling? And it was because you literally told me.
I've heard this before. Where have I heard this?
Why do I feel like maybe there's a chance that this clip that I want to talk about is the one that she already told me that she found?
I see, my anxiety constantly says that, even if there is nothing. I'm like, what have I done wrong? Something's wrong. What did I do? Well, I guess I'll just pick all the clips from now on, because I can't trust Jessica to do it. Just kidding. Uh-oh. You're doing all clips from here on out. That's your penance.
All right. Done.
All right.
If the show sucks from now on, everybody, you know why.
It's the same clip every week.
The worst.
You're like, have you heard this? You're like, just go. We just did this.
Speaking of next week, here's a little announcement. Next week, we have a special guest on our show. We have Don't Cross a Gay Man who hosts the Big Flop podcast as well. And one of the most requested guests that I've gotten from people that follow me that really, really want Misha to come on. So stay tuned for that. If you're on the Patreon too, we're going to throw a little bonus out there where if you have any questions you want us to ask them, we can do that. And it'll be a fun, different change of pace show next week.
It's going to be so fun. And as always, check out our socials and we will catch you next week.
On the flippity flop. Was that on a beat?
I was waiting for it. I was like, is he going to do it? He's going to do it. I know he's going to do it. Okay. Bye.
Bye.